Brothers and sisters, today's title is The Church in Philadelphia, the Exemplary Model. Even under harsh persecutions from the Roman Empire, the Apostle John shared the gospel without sparing his life. He was exiled to Patmos and received the revelations. Revelation chapter 1, verses 19 and 20 say, "Therefore, with the write the things which you have seen, and the things which you are, and the things which will take place after the things. As for the ministry of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are seven churches." Here, golden lampstands stand for churches established in faith. They signify the churches bought by the Lord's blood, which are the body of Christ. Seven means perfection, so seven golden lampstands are indeed churches set up in our Lord's name. Then, why do golden lampstands refer to churches set up in faith? Gold signifies unchanging faith, and a lampstand gives out light. On a lampstand, what sends out light is the lamp. Just like the lamp, the church plays a role of lighting up the world and leading people to the way of the truth. Each lampstand is different in its brightness. Likewise, churches set up in the Lord's are different in their spiritual light. So, the level of brightness indicates how close a church is to sanctification and the Lord's heart. Then, what does the lamp on a lampstand mean? Lamp means the truth. It also refers to believers who've accepted Jesus Christ and live in the word of the truth. Just as each lamp is different in brightness, depending on how earnestly a believer lives in the truth, his spiritual light varies in brightness. The more perfectly he practices the truth, the stronger light he gives out from himself. The same goes for a church, the gathering of believers. To the extent they live in the truth and give out light, the light from the entire church is different. To sum up, lampstands refer to churches established in faith. At the same time, they refer to each believer where the Holy Spirit dwells. The seven churches don't just refer to church in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea, but all the churches established in the era of the Holy Spirit. With the number seven meaning perfection, God specifically chose seven churches to give His message to all the churches which have existed, are existing, and will have existed until the Lord's coming in the air. The Lord's compliment or reproach is not specifically for the churches mentioned in the Bible, but it could be for any churches. Amidst the inspiration of the Spirit, the Apostle John received revelations regarding the seven churches and the secrets of the end time. The place where he received the revelations was Patmos Island, with the dark blue ocean surrounding the island and pure white houses standing on it. It creates such a beautiful landscape. At the time, Patmos Island was the place to which political criminals were banished, and it was a perfect place to communicate with God. Inside a cave located on this isolated island, John devoted himself to prayer and received the revelations. For a person to receive revelations, he has to have his spiritual eyes opened and be guided by angels. For this reason, God refined him into a sanctified person of the truth. As a result, John, who was once called the Son of Thunder, changed into a meek person who was called the Apostle of Love. The revelations regarding the seven churches were written in a letter form. Among the churches, only the church in Philadelphia received the Lord's compliment. As we explore the church in Philadelphia, which is the exemplary model for churches, and compare it to our church, I hope all of us will strive to become a church pleasing to Father God. Today's message is based on Senior Pastor's sermons preached back in 2007. For more details, please refer back to his Revelation series, sessions 25 through 27, and his book, The Seven Churches. Dear brothers and sisters, marathoners confess that while running 42.195 kilometers, they face grueling moments on several occasions. People say life is a marathon. While running that distance, they go through a fierce struggle against themselves for 3 to 5 hours. They have to discipline themselves while investing a lot of time and enduring pain. I heard an interview of a marathoner. When he passed the 20-kilometer point, he had a negative thought. I still have 21 kilometers to go. But soon, he changed his thoughts to, no, I've already run 20 kilometers and passed a halfway point. When they passed the 30-kilometer point, they feel drastically worn out and their knees, calves, thighs start to hurt. But they feel like their legs just automatically keep moving. From that point on, it's their willpower that keeps them running. Many thoughts go through their mind about life, regrets, resolutions, etc. Without being helped by anyone, they have to keep running on their own. No excuses can be accepted. As they come nearer to 40-kilometer point, they again make a resolution to their best until the end. As they enter the stadium and run towards the finish line, this thought goes through their mind. I've made it. Then they are filled with a sense of achievement and relief. Among many competitors, marathoners endure the struggle against themselves. They confess that no one could ever imagine the excitement and joy of the moment they touch the finish line. Currently, we are at the final phase of our race of faith. Along the track, Father God and our Lord are cheering for us with numerous heavenly hosts and angels. Even when we fall down, our fellow brothers and sisters who are running together help us get back up and encourage us so we can run more easily. The joy and thrill of the moment we reach heaven couldn't be described with words. Some may find their journey towards heaven relatively easy or trouble-free, but usually we go through a lot of trials helping us discover and change ourselves. As we are changed and live by God's will, we realize that the trials led us onto the way of blessings. It was the same with the church in Philadelphia. They had to go through many trials and shed many tears until they grew up to be worthy of Father God's compliment. But as a result of obeying the word and passing the trials well, they can enjoy eternal joy and happiness. They feel from the depths of their heart that the time when they were cultivated on earth was a great blessing. This is the privilege granted to only those who endure grueling moments of the trials by faith. The latter half of Revelation chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens," says this. It says that once our Lord opens, no one can shut, and once He shuts, no one can open. The door to salvation can open only by the name of Jesus Christ, and no one can shut it. The Lord opens and shuts according to God's will only. So He accomplishes everything in God's providence without an error. Our Lord, who has such authority, complimented the church in Philadelphia. As we read in Revelation chapter 3, verse 8, "Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut." Hearing such a word from the Lord is a great blessing. Once the Lord opens the door to blessings, anyone, angels, angels or even the enemy devil can do nothing about it. At the same time, this word ensures his tremendous authority and power. The Lord's word, "I have put before you an open door which no one can shut," carries God's incredible authority as in his blessing to Peter, "Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven." But this word can be applied not just to Peter, but any man of God and the churches guaranteed by God. Everything about the man of God and the churches set up by God is in his providence. So, once the Lord opens the door, it can never be shut in any circumstance. Once God declares that something should be done, no matter how hard the enemy devil or a man try to interfere, it is done for sure, bringing glory to Him. Our Lord, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, will always be with the churches set up by God and His believers and guarantee them until the day of His coming. We can confirm this by recalling how Mammon's overseas crusades have been accomplished. Once God commanded us to conduct a crusade, no matter how desperately the enemy devil hindered it, it was accomplished without fail. Despite all the hindrance and persecutions, all things work together for good, allowing us to glorify God more greatly. In Judges chapter 20, we find a scene where the tribe of Benjamin committed a horrible sin and faced retributions from other 11 tribes. 400,000 men were against 26,700 men of the Benjamin tribe. When the 11 tribes inquired God about this, God allowed them to attack the sons of Benjamin. In terms of the number of the soldiers, it was very likely that the 11 tribes would win. But even though they battled against the Benjamin tribe following God's command, they were defeated twice, losing 40,000 men. But as they continually obeyed without giving up, they won victory in the third battle. Like this, even after God commands us to do something, the situation may unfold the way totally different from man's thoughts. It was the same with the crusade in Dubai. To preach the gospel in that country is totally impossible by man's thoughts. With Islam being its state religion, to share the gospel with the local Arabians is illegal. Yet, God instructed senior pastor to visit Dubai and create an occasion to proclaim God's power to high-ranking individuals, not Christians. Moreover, just 2 weeks before the crusade, the U.S. waged war against Iraq. As expected, we could feel anti-American sentiment there. They also had hostility against Korea, along with U.K. and Australia, for dispatching their troops. While people were canceling their trips and flights were canceled, we took a great risk of visiting that country to preach the gospel. But whatever God commanded, senior pastor has only obeyed with amen. From beginning to end, God made impossible things possible by His ways, which are beyond man's imagination. The mission team had been nervous about going through a complex immigration process at the airport, but things went so smoothly for them. At the time, however, senior pastor confessed that he had one concern. He said that the incident in Judges chapter 20, which I just mentioned, continually went through his mind, and that he didn't have conviction about the crusade. Sometimes, even after God commands something, the situation may unfold a way completely different from man's thoughts. From the following day, we began to hear bad news. The police barricaded the crusade and notified us that we would be prohibited from having a crusade for security reasons. Although the church workers struggled to resolve the situation, visiting the police station, the embassy, and the people of the royal families, the situation didn't get any better. The government authorities had already blocked all the ways for us to get any help. From a physical point of view, the crusade was hindered by men, but spiritually, there was a fierce spiritual battle going on between us and the enemy devil. The enemy devil plotted to keep us from doing all activities in Dubai. They intended to show off their strength by creating a situation where even a world-renowned revivalist who performs God's power was prohibited from doing anything. Even until the day of the crusade, the police were standing guard in front of the venue, and the crusade was not held. But that's when God's providence began. Even though the enemy devil instigated evil people to kill Jesus on the cross, Jesus, who had no sins at all, shattered the authority of death and resurrected. During the trip to Dubai, there was also a great reversal like the providence of the cross. It was like an episode of a drama written by God. The enemy devil hampered the crusade through the highest ranking people to show off that they prevented even a man of God who has great power from doing anything. But according to the word of God, you will see the work of God at a place that you never imagined. God's power exploded at a place we'd never imagined. It was held at a public institution for the handicapped. The chief manager of the institution heard of God's works and invited senior pastor to a gathering of the handicapped. So he was invited to a state-run institution visited by many handicapped people, including Paralympic athletes. The participants of the meeting mostly consisted of the people who suffered from polio, cerebral palsy, and deafness, and those who depended on wheelchairs or crutches. Moreover, they were local Arabians who were Muslims and hadn't got a chance to hear the gospel at all. Senior pastor had only 15 minutes to share his message. He then prayed to manifest healing works. He didn't even have enough time to lead them to repent of their sins or plant faith in them. After he briefly proclaimed about the Almighty God and the works of His power manifested at Manmin Church, he began to pray for them earnestly. When God commanded us to leave for Dubai, He promised that the original voice would be given out in a more explicit way and visible fruit would be born. As promised, God showed us such amazing works. A young man who had been deaf for 12 years, began to hear, a man who had been crippled for 13 years began to walk, and a person's paralyzed body was loosened. Seeing those people healed of their severe disabilities, many were startled. The great power manifested at this institution marked a starting point where the enemy devil's plot was demolished and the situation drastically reversed. The enemy devil incited the highest ranking people to interfere with us, but senior pastor proclaimed God's power not at a church, but at a state-run institution. This meeting had a significant meaning because the gospel was preached to local Arabians. Although the crusade couldn't be held at the original location, God provided a way to hold a truly fruitful meeting for the local Arabians. Much to our surprise, the meeting was broadcast all over Dubai via cable television. God obviously showed the fact that once God is willing to do something, nothing is impossible no matter how desperately the enemy devil tries to interfere with his providence. Hallelujah. Dear brothers and sisters, this church is guided by God Himself in His providence. Because God is holding on to this church and us with His mighty hand, no one can shut the door our Lord opened for us. I pray that you will firmly believe that our Lord, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is always with us and guarantees us until the day He comes back to take us. I pray in our Lord's name. From now on, we will delve into the reasons why our Lord complimented the church in Philadelphia. The first reason is that they kept the word even though they had a little power. It carries two meanings. First, they've kept the Lord's word, which they learned, since they had a little faith, thereby growing their faith diligently. A little power refers to the state where a person has faith as small as a mustard seed right after accepting the Lord. A mustard seed is as small as a point of a pen. Most people begin their Christian life at such small faith. A mustard seed grows into a tree and birds come to sit on its branches. Likewise, we start off with faith as small as a mustard seed and it gradually grows into great faith. But those who've seen a mustard tree may not agree with this. A mustard tree is a plant thriving in the region of Galilee. The Bible describes it as a mustard tree, so Christians who've never seen it may think of it as a huge tree where birds can sit and rest. Children who've never visited the countryside may think of rice as fruit born on a rice tree. It's the similar case. Anyway, a mustard tree is not that big. It's a kind of a plant with yellow flowers. This plant thrives in all over Israel, particularly in the region of Galilee. If you travel to Galilee in February or March, you can see yellow mustard flowers covering hills and fields everywhere. In the Middle East, some of them grow to a height of 3 to 5 meters. They are higher than man's or horse's height. And some of them have a stem as thick as a man's arm, and it becomes hard like a branch of a tree. Even when birds come and nest on it, it can bear their weight. That's why Jesus called it a tree. Especially, the Israelites call plants whose leaves sprout right from the ground grass or vegetables, and all the plants that have a stem, trees. In this regard, it was right for Jesus to call it a tree. Like this, the church in Philadelphia, since they had a little power, namely a little amount of faith, they've kept the word of the Lord and diligently grown their faith. As we've seen from many cases, it's not easy for people who just started their walk with the Lord to keep the word of God with a little power. It's because they lack power to overcome the world. Even though they know what the truth is, they fail to act accordingly in their lives. On Sundays, they learn they have to cast off anger and make a resolution to do so. But as they face moments when they are offended and hurt, they go back to their old ways. When a person has a little power, he's likely to do so as well. To briefly talk about my family, when we were novice believers with a little power, we used to be hot-tempered. On Sunday mornings, we had to leave our house at least at 8:30 a.m. to arrive at the church in time. My father, who drove us to church, set a specific time for us to depart. It would have been better for all of us to keep that rule, but one of us always ended up late. Because of this, we began to blame and argue with each other. One day, this argument started from when we left home and lasted until the moment we arrived at church. Unless there was no argument, we felt a little awkward, like we were in the middle of Cold War. Although we had to keep the Sabbath holy, we often failed to do so when we were novice believers. But as we changed ourselves and cast off untruth, my family members as well as me became different. We began to yield to each other. If someone finished preparation earlier, he or she helped others so we could leave home earlier than before. Previously, once someone finished his or her preparation, that was it. But we began to help each other. Moreover, when we kept the appointed time, my father gave us a reward. Like this, we began to spend the Sabbath with a happy heart. Even though we had a little power, as we held on to the words and prayed fervently to change ourselves, we could cast off anger and irritation and easily achieve victory by the Holy Spirit's help. Like this, even when they had a little power, the church in Philadelphia overcame the world, prayed diligently, and made efforts to live by the word. As they drastically grew in faith, they could be complimented by our Lord. The same goes for this church. As the church members lead an earnest life of faith, they receive answers, blessings, and healing. We have endless testimonies of this kind. The words of blessing in the Bible have been promised to anyone. So, we, members of this church, have to firmly believe that the Lord's message to the church in Philadelphia carries God's will and providence for this church and make efforts to fulfill the word. Even though God gave us the key to the door to blessings, it's our duty to open the door and bring down the blessing through the church in Philadelphia kept the word even though they had a little power. Secondly, it means even though they had great power, they acted according to God's will as if they had an extremely little power. Let's take Jesus for example. Jesus was originally one with God and shared the same authority and power as His only begotten Son. Even so, when He came down to this earth, He took a flesh of a lowly man and lived just like human beings. Just like ordinary men, He went through the suffering of hunger, cold, fatigue, and pain. He bore the harsh suffering of the cross and carried out His duty as the Savior, not being exalted as the Son of God, but being in the flesh of an ordinary man who had an extremely little power. He didn't do things beyond the justice, saying, "I have boundless authority and power as God's Son." He always prayed to the Father with a humble heart, relied on Father God, and did everything according to His will. Finally, He obeyed to the point of death, shedding all His water and blood. Even though He had such tremendous power, He did everything according to the justice, as if He was a man who had an extremely little power. Even if a person has a good heart filled, God doesn't give him a great power to use him right away. According to His justice, He leads him step by step to have great power in the end. This church and senior pastor has walked the same kind of path to resemble our Lord and to obey Father God's will. Since the founding of this church, the works of creation unimaginable by man have been manifested numerous times. But God didn't exalt Him and this church at once and show the kind of power we are witnessing today from the very beginning. To demonstrate that senior pastor is proper before God and fully qualified to fulfill the God's providence, God has allowed him to go through harsh moments of trials. And he has endured and overcome all such process with faith and love as a man who has the same conditions like other human beings. This is called keeping the word even while having a little power. The second reason that the Lord complimented the church in Philadelphia was that they didn't deny His name. In a narrow sense, to deny His name is to deny knowing our Lord or forsaking and leaving the Lord. In the face of life-threatening situations, people of this category betray the Lord because they have such untruths as craftiness and cowardice. We've seen people who betray the Lord despite having received a lot of grace. But there are also people who boldly faced martyrdom without denying the Lord. The typical example is Deacon Stephen, who said, "Do not hold this sin against them," even as he was being stoned to death. As he faced martyrdom, Martin Luther confessed, "Even if they set the street on fire and its flames reach heaven, I will walk through it in the Lord's name and stand before them." Another martyr from Switzerland who launched a religious reformation said, "Let them come on. I fear them as the beetling cliff fears the waves that thunder at its feet." The famous Korean martyr Kim Chul-joo said, "I don't expect to get out of this prison alive. I wish I would die as a grain of wheat." Other than this, there are many glorious martyrs who didn't deny the Lord's name to the end. Among our church members are those who didn't deny the Lord's name despite severe persecutions from their family members. Let me share with you a woman's testimony. Many years ago, her husband heard false rumors about this church and severely persecuted her to make her stop going to church. One day, her husband threatened her to stop going to mom in church with a knife in his hand. Even though it could have led to a dangerous situation, she boldly responded, "Honey, it's already too late. I have no intention at all to leave my church." According to her, she didn't have even a bit of fear, had no intention to hide the fact that she went to church, and never wanted to compromise to avoid the situation. Noticing his wife's firm resolve, he no longer persecuted her. Impressed by her goodness, he finally began attending church along with her. Matthew chapter 10 verse 28 says, "Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Father God remembers those who didn't deny the Lord's name to the end and compliments them. In a broad sense, to deny his name is not to act according to the Lord's will, even while knowing it. Of course, some may not be capable enough to do His will, but there are people who don't even make efforts. Even though they profess to have faith, in times of tests, they waver, have doubts, and go back to the world. Like this, if you don't do the Lord's will, considering as trivial, disobedience piles up. Then, in times of tests, you complain and even leave the church. If you repeatedly violate the truth, thinking of it as trivial, you go to the point where you betray the Lord. Personally, Joseph is one of my favorite biblical figures because he always stayed honest before Father God. If something was against the Father's will, he didn't compromise at all, thereby setting a good and wonderful example. When Potiphar's wife held onto his garment, asking him to lie with her, Joseph went away, leaving his garment in her hand. He had no intention to compromise at all, giving an excuse that it was an unavoidable situation. We read in Genesis chapter 39, verses 9 and 10, "There's no greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God?" As she spoke to Joseph day after day, he did not listen to her, to lie beside her or be with her. God must be pleased to see Joseph not compromising with untruth. Of course, he knew that Joseph would never commit that sin. Like this, God rejoices when you show your reverence for God through your deeds just like Joseph did. The same went for the church in Philadelphia. Even though they started off from a little faith, they showed these commendable in our Lord's sight. In any circumstances, they lived by the word. Even in tests or trials, they kept their faith without betraying God, thereby placing themselves on the rock of faith. Also, this church has never compromised with the world, but endured any kind of persecutions and tests to follow God's will only. There have been people who've denied the Lord's name and left the church, but they were trials permitted in Father God's providence to separate the wheat from the chaff. Those who didn't deny the Lord's name even in such trials, but try to obey the church and the shepherd, have been able to develop great power. By the way, there was a driving force that empowered the church in Philadelphia and our church to keep their faith and develop great power. It was their unceasing prayer. No matter how clean water is, if it's not circulated, but stays still at a place for a long time, it is contaminated. That's the case with our faith. Even if we are born with a good heart field, if we stay stagnant without growth of faith, our faith may fail. Just like water staying still at a place. But for the last 36 years, we've been steadfastly praying with our beloved Mrs. Bongnim Lee, so we've been empowered to cast off untruth. With God-given grace and strength given from above through fervent prayer, we thank Mrs. Bongnim Lee. Another thing this church has in common with the church in Philadelphia is having figured out exactly the Lord's will. We've learned what sins, darkness, and flesh are and try to cast them off quickly. Also, by learning what goodness, righteousness, and light is, we put them into action. So those who indeed want to know the Lord's will can rejoice and give thanks even when they are rebuked. It's because they can figure out the Lord's will more clearly and live accordingly. Our Lord knows that we've kept the word even with a little power and try not to deny His name to this day. Pleased with our deeds, God shows us the evidence of His love in various ways. The evidence of His love is recorded in Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. This means they will realize their faults, repent, and turn from their ways before God's power. Through this, God confirms all the more strongly His love for His church and His servant. The synagogue of Satan refers to a group of more than two people who speak words against the truth and disturb the church. And people who say that they are Jews but are not refers to people who profess to believe in God but actually belong to the synagogue of Satan and don't live by the word of the truth. Like in the days of our Lord, and even now, there are such people. There are more. Nowadays, people who profess to believe Jesus as our Savior commit evil and interfere with the kingdom of God. They condemn churches that manifest God's power as heretical and try to destroy them. Jews refer to people chosen by God. They spiritually signify God's children. Those who say they are Jews but are not may call themselves God's children, but God doesn't acknowledge them. Even though they profess to be God's children, they don't live in the truth but pass judgment and condemnation, thereby creating disputes and arguments within churches. Moreover, they condemn churches that glorify God with signs and wonders. They condemn them as wrong or heretical. Like this, people who profess to believe in God but interfere with the churches set up by God and their pastor are self-called Jews. Such people are liars. From the Bible, we find that the biggest liars are those who deny Jesus Christ, so the Antichrist are those who lie. Our Lord declared, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. This means that even even such people will realize their faults, repent, and turn from their ways before God's power. Through this, God confirms all the more strongly His love for the church and His servant. The church in Philadelphia underwent persecutions and trouble by the self-called Jews. But God makes them repent, thereby showing the evidence of His love for the church in Philadelphia. But as the Lord specifically said, those of the synagogue of Satan, not all of them repent and turn from their ways, because they've committed sins of blaspheming, opposing, and speaking against the Holy Spirit. It's not easy for them to repent and receive forgiveness. They might say, "I'm sorry," with words, but they cannot repent truly with tears. That's why they can't receive forgiveness. As in Hebrews chapter 6, they won't be given the spirit of repentance. But among those self-called Jews, there are some who witness God's power and repent with the slightest bit of goodness in their heart. Lastly, the third reason that our Lord complimented the church in Philadelphia was they kept the word of His perseverance. He said that they kept the word of His perseverance. The word of perseverance means patience required to keep the word of God. Because people have a stronger desire to follow untruth, in order to overcome that desire and follow the truth, they have to persevere in prayer and fasting. Now, let me briefly share my testimony. Back in the days when I was a second grader, my pet dog gave birth to 5 baby dogs, and one of them got seriously ill. She couldn't eat her mother's milk and walk properly. She often fell down. At first, the mother dog licked her baby and looked after it, but later on, she gave up and separated her far away from other babies. Seeing that baby dog abandoned, I was heartbroken. I gave her medicine and put some food into her mouth. But soon enough, the dog vomited everything she ate. I took care of that baby dog with all my sincerity. As far as I remember, I myself lost appetite and couldn't sleep well with a desperate wish to make it survive. But I didn't think of it as burdensome at all. I only wish that my dog would recover and run around well. But not long after that, she passed away. Shedding tears and singing a hymnal, I buried it in my backyard and set up a cross on it. Because I didn't know the truth well at the time, I thought even my dog would go to heaven, but we know the truth. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 21 says, "Who knows that the breath of man ascends upward and the breath of the beast descends downward to the earth?" My patience and care for my dog could be compared to spiritual patience. Just as parents don't even feel they are suffering as they care for their sick child for their own. Even while we go through hardships as we run towards sanctification or strive for our goal, we can persevere with faith and love because we hope that fruit will be born. Even though we have remaining forms of evil, if we strive to discover and cast them off, God acknowledges us that we are keeping the word of perseverance. As we persevere and do our utmost in our respective measures of faith, Father God acknowledges that as deeds of faith. God protects such children and prevents them from tests. Moreover, we should have patience for God. John called himself a partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus. First, the kingdom which is in Jesus is the kingdom of the truth. The purpose of our Christian life on earth is to enter the everlasting kingdom of God. But for us to enter God's kingdom, we have to be a partaker in His kingdom. As Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the truth itself. So to partake in Jesus' kingdom means to live in the truth. Like this, to live in the truth, we have to partake in the tribulation, kingdom, and perseverance which are in Jesus. Even while John accompanied Jesus during his public ministry, he was persecuted a lot. But persecutions began in earnest after the Lord ascended into heaven. He was imprisoned, beaten, and faced life-threatening moments. But because he believed in the Lord, he persevered in all kinds of tribulation. He forgave even his persecutors and only stayed joyful and thankful according to the word of truth. In doing so, he partook in perseverance which is in Jesus. If you have faith, you take all persecutions and tribulation for the Lord joyfully and thankfully. When Christians are persecuted for their faith in the Lord, some people say, why doesn't Almighty God protect His children? Can't He destroy all the evil people who persecute them? But we have to keep in mind that when God's children face persecutions and tribulation, it all happens under God's will and providence. As a result, the gospel can be spread more widely and each believer can grow their faith as well. Because the early churches underwent severe persecutions, Christianity could spread to Europe and all over the world. If you stir blazing firewood again and again, its flames scatter far away by the wind. Likewise, when the early churches underwent persecutions, their members scattered to faraway places and served as their instrument of the gospel. We'll find the same as we look back on the history of this church. If this church hadn't gone through any persecutions but only walked a peaceful and comfortable path, how could this church have accomplished the world mission so greatly? How could God's power have been manifested throughout the world? Persecutions have made us pray more fervently and accomplish God's kingdom more greatly. If we had been afraid of how others thought, we couldn't have shared about the spiritual realm. Then, we wouldn't be able to know about and experience the spiritual realm, like we do now. Also, we wouldn't hope for New Jerusalem and run towards Spirit and Holy Spirit as earnestly as we do now. But to partake in the kingdom of God, we strive to live in the truth and stay patient in joy and thankfulness even while being persecuted for the Lord. Consequently, we've accomplished God's kingdom greatly, and many of the church members are pressing on vigorously towards Spirit. I will jump to the conclusion. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 5 says, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. As said, our life of faith is an individual race. So basically, we are judged individually on the last day. But it also has characteristics of a team sport. Which church you attended and who the leader of your church was serve as the factors of God's judgment. On the day of the judgment, not only each one of you, but also your church is judged. Depending on God's evaluation on your church, it can add to your benefits or the opposite. Any church that is established in the name of Jesus Christ is judged according to the word. While living in the world, we, Mami members, should try to get higher individual scores in faith, but additionally, we should help each other so that we will get a better team score. We cannot obtain a higher average score just by getting high scores in a few subjects. If we completely fail in one subject, it brings great damage to the average score. It's the same with the church. Just because a few of its members have good faith, it cannot receive compliments. All its members should run a good race to receive a higher team score and receive compliments. Especially, a pastor of a church has his individual faith judged, and in addition, he's judged as the shepherd of his church. Depending on how he looked after his church and his sheep, he is strictly judged. As a head of a church, he has to manage his church and the shepherd, and he has to shepherd his sheep according to the Lord's will. But if he fails to do so, he will face unbearable judgment. Moreover, if a church is set up in the name of Jesus Christ, dishonors God and commits deceitful acts, it will face judgment exactly according to God's justice. God's judgment is not done in a rough manner, but in a precise and exact manner. That's why the Apostle Paul warns in James chapter 3, verse 1, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. If a head of a church leads many souls to the way of death, how great will his punishment be? On the contrary, if a pastor leads his sheep to green pastures and beside quiet waters, and finally to heaven, he will receive God's amazing rewards and glory." To sum up, on the day of the judgment, not only are you judged individually, but which church you attended also serves as a factor for God's judgment. Thus, I pray that all of us will stay awake all the more in this end time and obey according to Father God's words, thereby giving only joy to Him like the church in Philadelphia.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen.